Good morning again. It's great to be in the house of God this morning and see all you beautiful faces. And I mean that sincerely. God is good, and he deserves our praise this morning. The subject, the word has already been prayed for, so we'll just jump right in to the word this morning. The subject this morning is the Lord, my shepherd. You know, of all the words and descriptors used in the scriptures to describe the relationship between ourselves and our Creator, I believe one of the best, if not the best one, is the description of the Lord as our shepherd. And a lot of times we like the shepherd part, but we don't all that much appreciate that in order for the Lord to be our shepherd, we have to be like sheep. Most of us like the shepherd part. We don't so much like the sheep part for many reasons, some of which we will go into this morning. And we'll look at our scripture this morning. I would venture to say everyone in this sanctuary this morning has heard this particular passage of scripture, and it's from the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. If you reach Proverbs, you've gone too far. And if you're in Matthew, you're really too far. It's one of my personal favorite scriptures. One of the first one I learned as a new believer a long time ago. But it reads from the, and I'll read it from several different versions. Psalm number 23, verses 1 through 2, from the NIV. I like to call it the North Idaho version. No offense. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. From the Good News Translation, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. I like that picture. Almost sounds like a Thomas Kincaid painting. From the New Living Translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. From the Message Bible, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. I like that. I don't need a thing when I got you. And from the New King James Version, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Just took up some of those maketh and leadeth from the Old English, from the King James Version of 1611. But we see, we get the picture here, the Lord is my shepherd. And a lot of times, it's sometimes comfortable to think in terms of generality. We've heard the term, the Lord, our shepherd. But David here is personalizing this relationship between God and his people. Yes, he is our shepherd. But in order to be our shepherd, he has to be what? My shepherd. You see, we have to know that relationship for ourselves. Amen? He's the shepherd of the flock, but he's only shepherd of the flock in the sense that he's a shepherd of each individual sheep. So that wolves may come and pretend to be sheep and try to infiltrate the flock. He's not a shepherd of those sheep that are not a part of his flock. Amen? Are you with me so far? So we have to know, we have to establish from the get-go that God is my shepherd. I have to know that without the shadow of a doubt, that I am a part of his flock. And it's not because I've been in church my whole life. It's not because somebody sprinkled some water on my head when I was 6 days old. No, it's because I made a decision when I was able to make decisions to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, we go back to Pastor Jim preached a very powerful couple of messages on the truth. We go back to Genesis. When God created man and woman, he assigned them those at creation. Not necessarily at birth, but at creation, right? He created them, and it's interesting that he created them and put them right where? In the lush meadows and green pastures. At that point, he didn't even need to lead them anywhere because they were right there. Because why? He created man, the scripture says, in his own image and after his own likeness. And not that he had nothing better to do. He wanted intimate fellowship with his creation. But unlike everything else that God created, uniquely for mankind, he created us with the ability to choose and to make decisions. And he wanted us not to worship him just because he made us, we didn't have a choice like the angels, right? He wanted us to choose to have that fellowship with him. Are you still with me? Amen. So this relationship goes all the way back to the beginning. And those of you who know me, I like to establish what we mean. Yes, Larry. When we use certain words. So, Webster's defines a shepherd, a man employed in tending, feeding, and guarding sheep, especially in a flock that is grazing, one charged with the religious care and guidance of others. And then they use the term pastor. This definition would be politically incorrect today. You would have to move man and put person. I have never seen any accounts in the scripture of women shepherds, but you never know. A man employed in tending, feeding, and guarding sheep. As a verb, The same source which is Webster's Third New International Dictionary defines shepherd this way: to tend as a shepherd, to gather, guard, herd, lead, or drive in the manner of a shepherd. And the third definition is to give spiritual guidance. Now, just to be fair, we also need to define sheep. Although we all know what sheep are, hopefully. The same source defines sheep as any of numerous ruminant mammals of the genus Ois, native to upland regions of the northern hemisphere and related to the goats, from which they may usually be distinguished by a stockier bill, absence of a beard in the male, and horns that, when present, are more divergent and in older males often coiled into flattened lateral spirals. Another definition is one that is like a sheep, as in being a defenseless, innocent creature, or in being readily preyed upon or shorn. They raise for meat and their coats. As a mankind or a group of people under the shepherding care of God or Christ. Also a group under the charge of a pastor or similar director. Be a stupid, docile person. Webster's words, not mine. Now, why is this portrayal of God as our shepherd, and we've read the definitions according to Webster, so descriptive of our lives as Christians? We'll just look at a few points from the scripture this morning. We read Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need, another version said. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's why he created us. And sometimes he has to make us do things that's in our interests. That's for our well-being. That's for our health. That's for our prosperity. That's for our progress. You see, our natural tendency, believe it or not, is to do the wrong thing. Way back in Genesis, right? Our natural inclination is to do those things that hurt us, that harm us, that shorten our lives, that take us away from the path that God has called us to walk upon. So sometimes he has to gently nudge us. Yeah, sometimes he has to employ a 2x4. Yeah, because one of the things about sheep, they're not the smartest, but they're also pretty stubborn. So sometimes, all the time, he's nudging us. He's encouraging us. And sometimes he's whacking us on the noggin. Why? Just so we walk in his paths. So we lie down in green pastures. Amen? Isn't he an awesome God? And not that we have to do anything, right? We just have to depend on him. That is the whole purpose that he created us. He didn't create us for the enemy to destroy us. That's why he already won the victory over the enemy. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You see, if the shepherd doesn't feed the flock doesn't eat. Amen? He leads them to those areas where they have grass, where the grass is green and lush. So that they can graze and be sustained. On their own, they will not find it. He will gather the lambs. The young ones are more prone to go astray. And guess what else? The young ones are the ones that the prey target. The prey will look for the weakest and most vulnerable ones in the flock. So a lot of the times, even the wild animals, they put the young ones in the middle when they're moving to make it a little more difficult for the prey to get to them. But the scripture says that he will gather them with his arm. He'll draw them closer to himself because he can protect them better. Amen? And he will gently lead those who are with young, make sure they are protected, and his eye is on them. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. You see, we're not the ones seeking him. The scripture says, all we like sheep have what? Have gone astray. We have each gone our own way. But the shepherd is so concerned with the welfare of the sheep that wherever we stray, he's there to seek us out. And he knows his sheep, right? The scripture says even if he has 99 and one is missing, he'll go after that one. He's not going to say, oh, I already got 99. Let that one go. No. As the scripture says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. He searches for his sheep and he seeks them out. What does that mean? His sheep. He's not going to seek sheep from other flocks. No, no, no. He's focused on his flock. He'll seek them out. He will deliver them from places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Sheep tend to stray off the path and get lost. That's why the shepherd has to be on them. Amen? John chapter number 10, verses 11 through 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I, Jesus speaking, am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Being a shepherd is a full-time gig. This scripture we just read says that a hireling is someone that's just helping, right? He is not invested in the welfare of the sheep as much as the shepherd is. Why? Because he has no ownership. He says there's a lot of hirelings in our world today that are masquerading and are pretending to be shepherds. And in fact, instead of seeking the welfare of the sheep that they're supposed to be shepherding, unfortunately, a lot of them are actively misleading and leading these poor people into the wrong direction. Infiltrating the Word of God with doctrines of man, stuff that sounds good to the ears. Oh, God can't possibly mean that all these people will not go to heaven. Well, last time I checked, God meant exactly what he said. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he meant it. Because he knew what was coming. What does he say? I laid down my life for the sheep. Which he did. He paid the price that we could be reconciled back to the Father and to do away with all the ceremonial sacrifices that even though they covered sin for a while, the next year they had to go find another poor lamb. They didn't take away sin. His blood was sufficient to wash away every sin, past, present, and future, as long as we accept that gift of salvation. Why did God do that? He knew that we were incapable of fully grasping the significance of our relationship with him as our shepherd. So he sent his only begotten Son as God himself in the flesh. Amen? First Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We have the tendency, even those of us that are part of the flock, that are genuinely a part of the flock, just by the nature of who we're being compared to as sheep, we have the tendency to go astray. Don't want to see what's over that hill or what's that interesting thing down the way, which is aside from the path that the shepherd is leading us on. And so every single time that we try to go astray, the shepherd is right there bringing us back into the flock. Because he knows we're totally oblivious to what dangers may lie in that tangent path that we want to take. But because he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what lies ahead, he's able and willing, and he will bring us back into the flock where we can be a part of his protection. Hallelujah. We may all be individuals, but we're individual parts of the same body. And that's covered, Paul covers that a lot in Corinthians, not the gospel, in his epistles. But we're just going to look now at a few characteristics of the shepherd and the sheep. Let's look at the sheep first. Sheep are weak. Sheep are weak, pretty defenseless. They don't have any way to defend themselves. They need the shepherd. We, without the shepherd, are also weak. I know a lot of times we like to think we got it all figured out. Yeah, sometimes we like to tell the shepherd, hey, chill, I got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. I just need to go explore this, fill in the blank. But the shepherd knows us better than we know ourselves. And so you might want to rethink that. Or, you know, if that gentle nudging doesn't work, then he escalates the mechanism. See, a lot of things that happen to us, we don't know what's going on, but God is working. The scripture says all things work together for good. Even things that don't look so good when we're going through them. Amen. Weak. Sheep are needy. They can't do anything for themselves. I mean, you put them to the grass, they can put their head down and chew. That's about it. And that's why the scripture said, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. I have everything that I need, because the Lord knows that we are needy. Oh, we have a lot of needs. Some of the things we think we need, we really don't. And sometimes God, in his infinite wisdom and love for us, prevents us from having some of those things that we think we can't live without. Because he wants us to focus on him. He wants our eyes on him. He's able to meet every single need that we could ever have. Amen? Paul says in Philippians, my God shall supply what? Just a few of your needs, right? No. All your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we need it. But God is abundant. Our needs don't begin to touch the magnificence of his ability to provide them. Amen? I couldn't think of a better word. I didn't want to offend anybody, so the next one, sheep are not smart. I think one of the Webster's definitions actually said stupid. But I just settle on not smart. I think we all know what that means. Sheep are not the smartest animals, unfortunately. And we as people, unfortunately, are not the smartest at making the decisions and the choices that lead to eternal life. That's what the scripture says. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that find it, right? But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be. You see, our tendency is to go with the flow. When in Rome, do as the Romans. There used to be a saying in the 70s, if it feels good, do it. I tried that, it didn't work out too well for me. But our tendency is to do those things. We go back to Genesis again. You got everything. God said, have it. All of this is yours. Do with it. In fact, you name all the other creatures. But just this one tree. Don't touch it. Guess what obsessed us? Why did he say I shouldn't? For those of you that have children, you know this. If you want them to do something, just say, don't do this. Right? We're not the smartest people. And that's why we have a shepherd that is able to not only lead us, but to help us make those decisions that benefit us and that improve our relationship with our Creator. Because that's why he created us. What else? Sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are very vulnerable. And that's partly because of all the other three we have talked, weak, needy, and not smart. Those three add up to being vulnerable, to be attacked, eaten up, harmed, destroyed, lost. We as people, God is looking for some vulnerable people today. Some people who are willing to realize that we don't quite have it all figured out. That AI is not the solution to all of mankind's problems. That all this stuff that we're talking about today is not the important stuff. What's important is that we realize that we're sinners. That we also realize that there's a Savior. And finally, that that Savior has made a way for our sins to be forgiven and us to have fellowship with Him. That's the important stuff. I guarantee you, you won't hear it on CNN. No. In order to fulfill God's plan and purposes for our lives, we have to be vulnerable, vulnerable to His prodding, to His leading, and His guidance. And the last thing about sheep, they are lost, they are easily lost. Again, not very smart. But we have a shepherd who is seeking us out, who not only tries to prevent us from getting lost, but even when we, in our hard-headedness, stray off the path, He seeks us out and brings us back. What about the shepherd? The shepherd leads the sheep. It's out in the forefront, making sure there's no predators, making sure there's adequate pasture, making sure there's fresh water. Our God leads us. How? Through His Word and by His Spirit. And as I was thinking about this scripture, I said, well, He leads us, but sometimes He also guides us. See, I picture leading is like the general. Well, I don't know if now these modern generals go out in front, they just sit up in the offices and send the other people. But I'm thinking about the leader as being in the front of the flock. Guidance, I think, is either from the side or from the back, giving directions. Say, go this way. And of course, you have to do both with sheep because, again, not very smart. So the shepherd not only leads, the shepherd guides the flock. Guides the flock into those areas where they can prosper, where they have adequate nutrition, where they have water, where there's places where they can rest, where there's shade when the sun is blazing hot, or there's places to shelter when the weather is adverse. What else does the shepherd do? The shepherd protects the flock. How many of you know that God is constantly protecting us from stuff, a lot of which we try to bring upon ourselves? Yes, He is. He's protecting us from prey, seen and unseen. You know, we've been hearing on the news recently about the Iron Dome. God has His own dome around us that's deflecting darts of the enemy, that's destroying traps before we can step in them. Even traps that we want to go step in. Amen? God protects us from danger. The prayer I pray every day over my family, protection from harm, evil, and danger. What else does the shepherd do? The shepherd provides for the sheep. provides care, provides comfort, provides food, water, companionship. The shepherd is also a healer. I'll have the worship team come up. They didn't have no veterinarians to run to during those days. I'm sure the sheep suffered some wounds and hurts, and they had their own methods for dealing with them. God, as our shepherd, is also our healer. Amen? Now today, he works through wonderful advances in medicine, right? But ultimately, he's the healer. What else? The shepherd fights our battles. Sheep are defenseless. We can't fight. We're too weak to fight the enemy of our souls. I know we don't like to think of ourselves as weak. We don't like to think of ourselves as vulnerable. But we need to change our thinking. The shepherd fights the battles that the sheep cannot fight. He fights off the prey when they come and try to infiltrate his flock. We know this, the scripture that talks about the weapons of our warfare, right? All of those weapons are defensive weapons except one. The word. The shepherd is fighting constantly on our behalf because he loves us. He wants us to finish strong. He wants us to run this race with endurance and success. Because why? He wants us to be with him for eternity. His word says he's not willing that even one, not even one, should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Please stand. What a powerful song. And I like the focus on the word now. You know, a lot of times we're being tugged, our hearts are being tugged at by the Holy Spirit. But we always find some reason that now is not the time. I got some other stuff I got to do first. It's not new. It happened in the scripture, right? Jesus told a parable about the banquet and people being invited, but they had all these excuses. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Everything happens in a season. Our God is the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change to fit the culture. If you're here this morning, you've never made a conscious decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you an opportunity to do that before you leave here today. Stop me, stop Pastor Jim, any other folks up here, and we'll talk to you. That's the most important decision you can ever make, because that's when you become part of this flock that we're talking about. That's when you become not just a sheep, but one of his sheep. Amen? There's no better feeling to know that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave your best for us, Lord. And you gave us the opportunity to love you back. Father, we thank you for that privilege. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you for drawing us back to yourself, for making a way where there seems to be no way, for protecting us, for providing all our needs according to your riches in glory, for healing us when we're sick, for encouraging us when we're discouraged. Lord, we're grateful to you this morning. We thank you that you're such an awesome God. We thank you for your faithfulness. Even when we are less than faithful to you, Lord, you remain faithful to your word and to your people. We thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up everyone that's sick in this sanctuary this morning and those listening wherever you are. We pray a healing touch, Lord. That back pain, heal it in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those that lack in any way this morning, those that lack comfort, those that lack just the basic resources for life, Lord. You do provide, but sometimes you stretch us to the limit, Lord. We pray you will help us to hold on. We pray for our children, our grandchildren, those that have walked away from you, Lord. We claim them this morning for your kingdom in Jesus' name. We pray for families, marriages this morning, Lord. We pray you will be the head of every marriage relationship in our church this morning. And Lord, we just lay every burden at your feet this morning. And we'll walk out of here lighter than when we came in, Lord. And we just thank you for answered prayer. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.